Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amri Nahadoi, Hayman de Zogben Dikla Lechavre, if somebody sells a palm tree to someone else, Kanale Mishfule Atahayma, the buyer owns in this tree all the way down to the depths of the earth. So now Doi is teaching us that when somebody buys such a tree, he becomes the full-fledged owner of the land under the tree. Poshupshat, what now Doi is saying, and this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, is that if something were to happen to that tree, it would be cut off, or it would die, the purchaser would have the right to replant the tree. Which, of course, the Rishonim find difficult to understand. Tosfos, another Rishonim, asked the question, because as we quoted in our previous year, the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph, that says that if somebody sells only one or two trees, the buyer does not receive rights to the land under the tree, and he can't replant the tree. So how does Nadoi say in Al Gemara that the buyer does get such rights? And because of this question, Tosfos explains that what Nahadoi means, that the buyer owns the land as far as preventing the seller from digging under his tree. But Tosfos holds that even Nahadoi agrees that if something were to happen to this tree, then the buyer cannot replant it. The Rashba gives a different explanation. The Rashba explains that what our Gemara means to say is that the buyer has the rights of the land under the tree, but not to the rights to the land next to the tree, which is interesting to note because it's not posh pshat in the Mishnah Pei Aleph, because posh pshat in the Mishnah that Pei Aleph means that the buyer has no rights not to the land next to the tree nor to the land under the tree. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes a Rabbeinu Meir who makes a distinction between a palm tree and other trees, because he says the Gemara we're going to learn later in our Masechta teaches us that once a palm tree begins to wither away, nothing can help it get rejuvenated. Dikloy and gizoy emachlif. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Meir, now Dori is of the opinion that only by a regular tree, which can be pruned and have a long life expectancy, there the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph teaches us that once somebody buys a tree, he only owns the tree as long as the tree is alive, but if the tree dies, his rights to replanting end. However, when it comes to a palm tree, where you can't keep the tree going by yourself, you can't prune it properly, that's why Nahadoi will say, by such a tree, if the tree dies, the buyer can replant it. And the explanation is very understandable, because the explanation is because of a palm tree has, you don't have the ability to keep it going. Now we can understand why Nahadoi said his halacha specifically indicating a dikla. Why do you specify a dikla? Why don't he speak about every tree? Because, as Rabbeinu Meir explains, it's unique to a dekel where the Nahadoi say the buyer will be able to replant the tree. This halacha will not be that way anywhere else. Maskele Rava asks Rava to the Nahadoyim, Velemelei, but why can't the seller say to the buyer, Kirk Madarishka Zivinalach, the way I sold you this property is that I sold you like you sold saffron. Saffron, which was an herb, and the way it was typically sold was that the buyer bought the saffron. Once the saffron ripened, he would have to take it off the ground, and he can't replant anything in that spot. So says Rava, the same din should apply when somebody buys a tree. The seller should say, I only meant to sell it to you to the degree that as long as it's alive, you could use it. But if it dies, you can't replant it. And therefore, the seller should be able to say to the buyer, Akar kirkumer derishka vizil. And most Rishonim explain what the Gemara means, is that the seller should say to the buyer, you only have a right to be on this land, use this tree as long as it's alive. But when it dies, you can't replant it. Other Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is that you have to now already cut off the tree, because your entire rights to this tree were only to the degree to use it as lumber, but not that it should remain on my land and draw nourishment from land that you do not own. El Amar Rava, says Rava, that what the Nadoi mean, and as the Ramban explains, what Rava is saying is that he's not arguing on Nadoi, he's actually reinterpreting what Nadoi means. And it's referring to a situation, Babar Machmas Taina, that the buyer says that the seller specifically, when he sold him the land, sold him the tree, sold him the rights to the land under the tree. For as the Rishonim discuss, even though we've been having issues in our Gemara, what are the rights of a buyer of a tree? That's only when the rights were not clearly stipulated. But in a situation where the rights were clearly stipulated, there is no shaila. Everybody agrees that we follow the stipulation. And that's what happened here. What happened here was that the buyer says that I not only bought the tree, but we agreed with each other that I would own the land under it. In such a circumstance, and now he says I have a chazoka to back me up, and that's why he's saying I should be able to keep the land under it. Asks the Chedush HaErim, how could the buyer say that he has a chazaka for the land under the tree? All he was doing was taking and harvesting the fruit of the tree. How could a chazaka of taking the fruit from the tree create a chazaka for the land under it that the buyer is saying that he has such a chazaka? Says the Chedush HaErim, a chazaka does not necessarily mean that I actually use the land. If this is the way that normally this property is used, and normally when you take fruit, you own the land from which the fruit is growing, that is enough to make a successful argument that you have, that you should have a chazaka. But if he did in fact sell the tree the way saffron is sold, that you could keep the saffron in the ground until it's ripened, you could keep the tree until it's alive, my havalela mevid, what kind of mecha? As we've been always discussing, to avoid a chazaka, the one that's protesting has to make a mecha. What kind of mecha should he have been able to make? And as the Rishonim explain, what the Gemara means to say is, we discussed this previously, is that normally what a mecha means is that the mecha says you're doing something illegal. Here, he wasn't doing anything illegal. He did buy the tree. And therefore, in order to prevent the chazaka, you have to protest that something illegal is occurring here. Nothing illegal is occurring here. Another way of understanding the Gemara's question, that a mecha has to take place before 3 years, as we've been learning. Here, however, the buyer of the tree could end up being here for a very long time, because certainly, as long as the tree is alive and giving fruit, the mochsik is allowed to be here. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how could a mecha been made here that would prevent a chazaka? Answers of Rashi, it's possible to have a mechoy here because he should have protested. And true, the protest isn't that you're doing something illegal, but rather it's not a protest, it's more like a notice. And that the person should have said, made notice, I want you to know, you're on this property, but you're on this property illegally, because you're on this property only for the tree, not to have ownership of the property. And that too falls into the category of mechal. Or with the other pshat that we quoted from the Rishonim, before every 3 years are up, it becomes the obligation of the original owner who wants to be Maicha to say, I'm serving notice that you don't have ownership of this property. Says the Gemara, how do we know that such a Mecha is considered a valid Mecha? If we won't say so, Hani Meshkanti Desura. As we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, certainly ribis, lending on interest, we learned is Osir. But the Gemara said there that there is a permissible way of ribis, which is called the Meshkanti Desura. That if I lend you money and you give me a piece of property as collateral, and we make up that I'm going to be on this property for 10 years, and as much fruit that this property produces will be mine, no matter if it produces much or little, and then at the end of the term I give you back the property and you owe me no money. The Gemara said that's 100% acceptable. The Kasba Hachi, the Mishkanta the Basura says, Bemishlishnin Elin, when these 10 years or these years are up, Tabik Aradabal Kesef. You get back your land and you owe me no money. So ask the Gemara, a Mishkanta the Surah, as the example that we just gave, could be for a very long time. Ikavishli Mlishtar Mishkanta. So if the Malva wants to act illegally, he could hide this document, and now at the end of 10 years, he'll say, I'm on this property, because l'kuchi biyadi, I bought it, and the chazaka that I'm here all these years, supports my claim. We will say, hachi nami de mehemen, can that happen? Which, if that would be the case, ask the Gemara, misaki rabbonim milsa, where if Chazal instituted something, das vay de pseida, that the loiva could have such a loss, Ella, says the Gemara, why don't we have such a concern by Mishkanta the Surah? Because in Ba'ilam Chuyay, the loiva should have served notice that even though you're on this property, you're only on this property because you have a Mishkanta the Surah here. Hachinami, Mecha, a valid, Mecha doesn't just mean complaining that you're doing something illegally. Mecha means serving notice. And therefore, in Ba'ilam Chuyah, you should have served notice, and that would have prevented the chazaka. There's a machlokes rishonim, if serving notice by Mishkanta the Surah is required in a situation of where there were Edim originally that the Malva received this property from as a Mishkanta the Surah. Some rishonim say that the presence of those Edim create a situation of Mishkanta the Surah where even Mecha will not be necessary. Other Rishonim say that since he's going to be on this property for such a long time, Mecha is always required. Furthermore, the Yad Ramah Rishon and the Achronim expound on what the Yad Ramah says. From here we see how Chazal, when they instituted the Takana, was so cognizant of all of the aspects and all of the repercussions of such a takana. Because Al Gemara says that when Chazal made the takana Mishkanta the Surah, they would have never made such takana if it could cause a loiva, a loss of the entire property. From here we see that Chazal, you could argue, perhaps, would have anyway made Mishkanta the Surah, because this is a way for the loiva to be able to get a loan. Say the Rishonim and the Achronim, yes, Chazal were interested in the loiva being able to obtain a loan. But they also took into consideration all of the ramifications of any takana they made. And if the takana could create a situation that the loiva should lose the property because the malva will say that I bought the property, they would have never made such a takana, because they take all of the aspects of the takana under consideration. And that's why the Mefarshim say, our Gemara specifies this point by Mishkanta the Surah. Because as we remember, when we learned Masech the Baba Metziah, we learned that Mishkanta the Surah is considered a situation that is very commendable. Chazal, everybody agreed in the Gemara that Mishkanta the Surah is 100% perfectly acceptable. That's why the Gemara here is correctly saying Chazal would have never have said that Mishkanta the Surah is such a perfect solution if it could cause the loiva a loss. Says the Mishnah, Sholosh Arches L'Chazaka. There are three lands in Eretz Yisrael regarding Chazaka. As Yehuda, Ve'Vayad, and Ve'Golol. They're considered three separate countries. The way most Mefarshim explain, these are three separate governments, and therefore a chazaka from one area cannot be a chazaka from the other. Yehuda, Ve'Vayadin, Ve'Golol. And as the Mefarshim explain, the Mishnah goes out of its way to point out and mention Yehuda, Ve'Vayad, Ve'Golol, to teach us that even though there were Oile Regolim going from Golol to Yehuda, and furthermore, even though from Yehuda to Ever HaYarden there was a river in between those two areas, but there was no river, there was one landmass between Yehuda and Golol, still they're considered separate countries. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Hayu b'Yehuda v'hichsik b'Golol, or b'Golol v'hichsik b'Yehuda, ain't a chazaka. In all these situations, a chazaka is not achieved, achihi imar b'dina achas, until they're in the same country. And again, the Mefarshim point out, our Mishnah goes out of the way to give the example of Golol and Yehuda, not Eivar Yardin and Golol, or not Eivar Yardin and Yehuda, to teach us that we explained just in a moment ago, where there are many reasons to believe that there is, that a chazaka should be able to be achieved from one place to the other. The halacha is that we don't have a chazaka because they're considered two different countries. However, according to the opinion of Tanna Kamma, as will become clear in the Gemara, if they're in the same country, even though they're not in the same city, then the chazaka will be effective. When do they have to be in the same country in order to have an effective chazaka? So according to the Rashbam, they have to be in the same country at the end of the 3 years. If at the end of the term of the 3 years they're in the same country, then the chazaka will be a valid chazaka. We don't look, according to the Rashbam, that they were together in the same country previously during these 3 years. It's the last day of the 3 years which is the defining moment if there is or isn't a chazaka. However, the Yad Ramah disagrees, and he says as long as they were together in the same country any time during these 3 years, and the person did not make a mecha, then there will be a valid chazaka. Continues the Gemara. That was the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda ever disagrees. Amar Yehuda, lo amru shalosh shanim. The reason 3 years was said, el kadesh be'Espanya, that if the original owner was in Spain, as the Rishonim explain, typically the furthest country they would travel to from Eretz Yisrael was Spain. So we need to have a situation that Yachzik Shana, that the person who's on the property should be there for a year. Then Yelich V'Yediyu Shana, they should notify the owner who now is in Spain that somebody is on your property, V'Yavi L'Shana Cheres, and give him a year to get back. So according to the Rabbi Yehuda, it's because somebody is in Spain. Why will be the halacha if he traveled further than Spain? So Tosfos says Chazal didn't make a loyplug Chazal, and according to Chazal, it's always a 3-year term, even if he traveled further. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say it was typical that they didn't travel further than Spain. But certainly if he traveled further than Spain, he could have more than 3 years. The Meiri makes the following distinction. He says, up to 3 years, he has a right to say he was in Spain, and he doesn't have to bring witnesses even that he was in Spain. And he'll get 3 years, that up to 3 years he should have been Moicha. Whereas, if he went further, he will get longer than 3 years, but the only way he'll be able to get a term of more than 3 years is by bringing Edom that he was in a country that was even a further distance than Spain. Obviously, according to the Meiri, if it's Spain or anywhere closer, certainly, the Me'arer has a right to claim that he was in such a far country without even bringing Edom that he was so far away. Whereas, according to other Rishonim, which is probably the opinion of Tosfos, always will it be the Me'arer's obligation to bring Edom that he was far away, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and without those Edom, he won't have a legitimate claim. So, if we want to analyze the machloikis of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, there are really two aspects to the machloikis. The Tanakhama holds that the amount of time for chazaka is 3 years, and according to the Rashbam's understanding of this machloikis between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, is because the Tanakhama subscribes to the concept we learned earlier in our parak, that up to 3 years a person holds on to his documents. After 3 years, he's not expected to hold on to his document. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Ma'arer was in the same place as the person who was being machzik, he should have been Ma'arer right away. But again, the Rishonim point out, that's only if they're exactly in the same locale. Rabbi Yehuda will agree that once they're not exactly in the same locale, even if they're in the same country, there's 3 years. That means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's two extremes. If you're in the same locale, then you should be Moicha right away. If you're not in the same locale, we'll give you 3 years. And it's a machloikis how to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Some explain Rabbi Yehuda, as we said, the Rashbam explains Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the same locale, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a person, chazaka has nothing to do with holding on to a shtar, and therefore, mechor should take place right away, and if it didn't take place right away, then the machzik is considered a muchzik. Other Rishonim, however, explain that Rabbi Yehuda certainly agrees to what we learned earlier in our parak, that chazak is connected to the concept of holding on to the shtar. Rabbi Yehuda says that the buyer who does have a shtar says to himself, if the Amorakama, the Ma'arer, is here in this same locale as I am, and he didn't say anything, it's because he certainly admits and agrees that this property is mine, and therefore he will throw out his shtar, even though normally people are not supposed to throw out the shtaris, because he says to himself there's certainly not going to be any din Torah here. And another aspect of the machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is that according to Tanakhama, we are concerned that if they're not in the same country and there isn't travel between these two countries, the machzik will never hear that this person is on his property, and therefore he doesn't get a chazaka. And Yehuda holds that even if you're in a different country, you can become aware of somebody being on your property, and therefore you'll come to make a claim why you are my property. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Micah Sover Tanakama. How do we understand the opinion of Tanakama? Ika Sover, if we'll say that the opinion of Tanakama is Mechor Shloi Befonov have Mechor, that a person can make a protest even if he's not in the same location as the Machzik, I feel Yehuda V'Golo Nami. So the same halacha order apply by Yehuda and Golo. So the Rishonim point out, why is the Gemara focused on the fact that Mechor Shloi Befonov have a Mechor? Why does the Gemara not focus on Chazaka Shloi Befonov have a Chazaka? So many Rishonim say that Chazaka Shloi Befonov have a Chazaka and Mechor Shloi Befonov have a Mechor are really two sides, two statements of the same coin. They both mean that you don't have to be here in the same location to get a chazaka, and you don't have to be in the same location to make a mechal. And the reason the Gemara focused on the mechal aspect versus on the chazaka aspect is because what happens after you have a chazaka? As we've been learning, a chazaka is supposed to create the mechal. And that's why the Gemara points out the mechal aspect, but it's not that there's any difference between chazaka and mechal. However, other Rishonim say it's specifically regarding the Mechor that the Gemara is focused, not regarding Chazaka. Why? Because if I own a piece of property in a certain area, location, and I go away from that location, it's my tendency to constantly try to investigate what is going on with my property. I'm constantly going to try to find out. And therefore, it could very well be that a chazaka is certainly not created. A chazaka will not be when I'm not there, because a chazaka will be created even when I'm not there. Why? Because I find out about it wherever I am. But the person who's on the property is not anxious to find out, was there a mechor on this property? He's on the property and he's happy that there's no action. And therefore, there's more of a chiddush, or there's more of a concern regarding mechor shloi befonov, because that's not something that the machzik is anxious to find out about, versus the owner is more likely to find out than the machzik is likely to find out. So ask the Gemara, what is the opinion of Tana Kama? Ikusav mechor shloi befonov av mechor, then I feel Yehuda v'gol v'nami. Why can't there be a chazok? Let the person, even if he's a different country, be able to issue a protest. If, on the other hand, Ikasov Mechor Shloi Befonov Loi Ava Mechor, that he's of the opinion that a Mechor has to be actually in the place of the Machzik, then I feel Yudav Yudav Nami Loi. As we explained when we learned the opinion of Tana Kama, it's only because they're in different countries, that's why we don't have a Chazaka. But were they in the same country, even if they weren't in the same location, then there would be a chazaka or a mechor. Why? You have to have mechor befonov. And as the Rishonim explained, it seems from the opinion of Tana Kama that as long as they're in the same country, a mechor will be a mechor. Because if the halacha will be, according to the Tana Kama, that they have to be mamish in the same place for an effective mechor, so why did the Tana Kama choose Yehuda v'Golo? The Tana Kama could have taught us a bigger chiddush. The Tana Kama could have taught us that even if they're in the same country but they're not in the same location, the mechor will not be a valid mechor. The fact that the Tana Kama only spoke about Yehuda v'Golo is a clear indication that if they're in the same country, we will have an effective mechor. Answers the Gemara. It is the opinion of our Tana Kama that you don't have to be there to have an effective mechal. And our Mishnah that says Yehuda v'Gol you can't have an effective mechal is referring to a situation b'shas cheirim shanu. It's in a situation where there were hostilities. The Rishonim explained it wasn't stam hostilities because they didn't get along. It was a situation of life and death. they were bitter enemies, and therefore their if a mechal were made somewhere else, it's meaningless because the muchzik will never become aware of that mechal. Ask the Gemara, "Umayshna Yehud v'Golda Naked." So why did the Mishnah point out specifically Yehuda v'Golda? Says the Gemara, "Hakamashmalan." What the Mishnah wants to teach us is to stam Yehuda v'Golda, that under normal circumstances the area of Yehuda v'Golda, these two countries, Yehuda v'Golda, are considered kishas cherem dami, as if there's a situation of hostility between them. The Rishonim debate, what does the issue of hostility, what does it create? Some Rishonim explain it creates a situation that if there was a mechal, the muchzik will not be aware of the mechal. Others explain what it creates is a situation that the owner will not become aware, the owner will not become aware that the machzik is on his property, that he should issue a mechal. So Tosfos asks that we learned in the Gemara, the beginning of Masechta Gittin, that a shliach who brings a get from one country to another country in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. Why? Because since the people that commonly travel from one country to another country in Eretz Yisrael, it's shayoros mitzuyos, and we don't have to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. As Tosfos, our Gemara is saying that there was a terrible rivalry between Yehuda and Golol, and they didn't get along. So how could our Gemara say that how do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So Tosfos answers that regarding getting where the woman is anxious to make sure that her get is a valid get, she goes out of her way to find people who will travel from Yehuda to Golol, from Golol to Yehuda. And therefore, regarding get, the need for the level of travel is much lower, much less than the level of communication that's needed regarding properties where people aren't so concerned, is something amiss happening to my property. Liester Ben Yoina says a very interesting teretz. He says that the two Mishnayis, the Mishnah Masechta Gittin and the Mishnah Masechta Babasra, refer to different times in our history. The Mishnah Masechta Gittin refers to a time where Klal Yisrael were living in Eretz Yisrael and were traveling to be oil regal, and therefore it was very common that a person, that there should be travel and there should be communication between Yehuda and Golol. Whereas the Mishnah Masechta Basra is speaking to a later time in history where there was no longer any Alila Regal and there weren't this type of communication. The Rashba finds the answer of the Lewis to Ben Yoina very difficult to understand, because the Rashba explains that all Mishnayis probably were written at the same point of history. And to make distinctions that this Mishnah was written, the Mishnah Gittin was written earlier and the Mishnah Masechta Babasra was written later, is difficult for him to accept. So the Rashba explains that a get is something that's prepared in Beis Din. It's under the domain and control of Beis Din. And since it's under the domain and control of Beis Din, it's likely that Beis Din will make sure, and if as long as there's anybody traveling, Beis Din will use that as a way of determining the validity of the get. However, properties, unless there's a real din Torah, this doesn't come to Beis Din, and therefore we have to have a higher level of travel and communication between the countries. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Eimach Zikim Enechsei Bereich. If somebody had a runaway, then one cannot accomplish a chazakah on that person's property, because the person who ran away can't make an effective mechal, And since he can't make an effective mechal, it's not considered, it's not considered a way to be machzik in the property. And the way the Rishonim explain, at this point, the Gemara's understanding, it makes no difference why this person ran away. If the person ran away, he's unable to make a mechal, and therefore unable to make a chazaka. Says the Gemara, Kamrisa Kamei Shmuel, as the Rashba teaches us, as the Rashbam teaches us, Rav passed away before Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda was originally a Talmud of Rav, but after Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel, and he repeated to Shmuel many of the halachas that he learned by Rav. And this Gemara, says Rav Yehuda, when I said this over to Shmuel, Amali v'chilimchas b'fanav u'tzorach, does a protest have to be made in front of the machzik? So therefore, the Gemara is asking, shouldn't he be able to make a mechal even if he ran away? Says the Gemara, for Rav my kamashma, Rav goes back to Gemara to Rav that says that you can't make a chazok b'nechse bereich. What is Rav ostensibly teaching us? That mechal b'shlo b'fonov lo have a mechal. And as the Rishonim point out, if that's what Rav means, it will not necessarily be only in a case of Bereach, it'll be a case in any situation where the original owner is not here, that the Mechal will not be effective. To ask the Gemara, from Rav, didn't Rav teach us the Mechal Shloi B'fonov have a Mechal? Rav said, Rav Ach B'Mamel quoted the opinion of Rav, and understanding the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, saying that you don't have to be in the exact same place, in the exact same locale, to make an effective mechal, answers the Gemara. The way to understand Rav Ach B'Mamel is as follows. Rav Ach B'Mamel was indeed quoting Rav, and Rav Tanadadon Kamafarish, he was explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, V'leiloi Svirlei, he himself did not agree with that, and he says that a mechal has to take place in the actual same place where the machzik is. Vikad Amri, others say, Amar Yudah Marav, machzik b'nechse bereich. You can make a chazaka, even a property of somebody who ran away. Kamrita Kamei Dishmuel, and says Rabbi Yudah, when I said this over to Shmuel, Amali, v'chilimchas b'fonav b'utzarech, Avada, it should be acceptable, because mechal doesn't have to take place in front of the machzik, and it's obvious. Ask the Mavarav Rav my kamashmalam. Why would Rav, if as Shmuel says this is obvious, why was Rav coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara: mechal shlo b'fanav have mechal. He's come to teach us this very din that mechal shlo b'fanav is an effective mechal. Ask the Gemara: Vama Rav. Didn't Rav say this already? And here explained the Rishonim, it's unlikely to say that when Rav said it in explaining the Tan of our Mishnah, he doesn't hold that way. Here we see that Rav does hold that way. And therefore, when he was explaining the Tanakhama's opinion, it was obviously also his opinion. And therefore, why does Rav have to repeat it? What Rav is coming to teach us is that if the mechal took place in front of witnesses who aren't able to walk, let's say they're lame or they can't travel, have a mechal, it's still considered a valid mechal. Domer of Anan, L'deil mefash l'minei demar Shmuel, I heard from Shmuel, Micha b'fnei shnei b'nei odim shechoyim loy meloy, if the protest was made in front of two people who are able to travel and tell the muchzik about the protest, have mechal. Micha b'fnei shnei odim she'en yechoyim loy meloy. But if the mechal took place in front of two people who are incapable of traveling, loy have a mechal. Now we understand why Shmuel didn't understand what Rav said. Because Rav was saying that a mechal that takes place in front of two witnesses, even if they can't travel, is considered a valid mechal. Shmuel understood that Rav was speaking about witnesses that can travel. I'm sorry. And since Shmuel was understanding that Rav was speaking about witnesses that could travel, so obviously it's a good mechal. But Rav was teaching us a chiddush, because Rav was teaching us that even if the witnesses cannot travel, it's still considered a valid mechal, and that of course represents a tremendous chiddush, because we rely on chavr islay, chavr d'chavr islay. Because Rav, chavr, chavr islay, v'chavr d'chavr islay, and therefore even though these two individuals cannot arrive here, we can rely on the news arriving to the machzik anyway. Amar Rava, says Rava, the halacha is, we can't make a chazaka on the property of a bereich. However, and furthermore, ask the Gemara, how can we reconcile these two rulings? B'tarti, how can these two rulings travel together? The first says that you can't make a chazaka only in front of the, you have to have the owner there. And the second one says, the mechal shlo b'fonav have a mechal, answers the Gemara loikasha. Can be reich b'achos moment, if the person ran away because of monetary issues, so a chazaka could be established. Because he's not scared to make the mechal, because he only ran away because of monetary concerns. And therefore he's not that scared, and since he's not that scared, he'll make the mechal even though he's not here. Kam berech machnas mardin. But if the person ran away because he murdered somebody, and he's scared that the goyel hadam is going to come after him to murder him, so he goes out of his way to remain in hiding, and because he goes out of his way to remain in hiding, he will not make any mechal, because by making a mechal, people will become aware of his hiding place, and the Goyal Adam may come and kill him.